Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Internet. It is day... What's good, Internet? There we go. That's the right way I'll say this. It is day three of E3. We are on the show floor. We are recording on Periscope and also on a recorder that's dying, so we'll see how that goes. And we wanted to check in one more day. Last check-in here from E3 2018. Patrick is here. I'm here. Natalie Watson on the floor with us. We're sitting on a floor in the convention center. And Rob Zachney is here. How's everybody doing?
Tired. I'm upset that we're sitting on the floor because it means I'll have to get up.
We could just stay here.
We live here now.
We
can just...
Live here.
There's plenty of food.
A home can be a floor at a convention center.
Don't tempt me.
Joel said we're going to get ramen. Maybe he just means he's going to bring us ramen on this floor.
Do you know what? Yeah, sure. Does Grubhub deliver to the bathroom in the West Hall hallway next to the media room?
You know, with a water fountain, a lighter, and a cup of noodle. You know.
That's all you need.
Just go to the Sony, the like PlayStation Experience area in the West Hall, and there's tons of people laying down over there.
Cool.
They also live there.
Did you get ice cream?
I haven't gone yet. I'm going to go.
Okay, good. There's a rage.
Yeah.
After my rage interview, they were like, here is a coupon for ice cream at our ammunition machine. And I was like, I know who to give this to.
Me, the free
the
swag.
The true gamer, as E3 is now declared.
That's true.
You know what did not make me hungry at all, though? Plague Tale, Innocence.
Wow, look at Rob Zachney with the pro level transition.
Also watching that low battery light flashing on that thing.
It's fine.
We could get some pod done.
We saw
A Plague Tale, Innocence.
At Focus Home Interactive, which is always an interesting place because they work with a lot of European devs.
It's an eclectic lineup.
It's a really eclectic lineup. Pitch this game. Explain what this game is.
The shortest way to describe it is maybe Bloodborne Last of Us in some ways. Or Last of Us Ratatouille. Aesthetically Bloodborne-ish.
Bloodborne is largely claustrophobic, and what this is, from what we saw of it, I mean, who knows? What we saw was Brothers Ratatouille.
The Last of Us thing is the gameplay. I think the aesthetic is kind of what I was going for with the other one, but like, it's very much dingy, sickly middle ages.
Yes.
You're a couple kids on the run from the Inquisition.
Older sister with her two younger siblings running away from someone.
In a time of plague.
And rats are everywhere.
Literally everywhere.
Like a sea of rats.
And they're real well animated.
You can keep them at bay with fire, with like light and heat. And that's like cool. It's a little like binary.
Yeah.
But it worked, and what really worked for me is visually speaking, there's this great use of fog and light and silhouettes.
It's all right.
And the soundtrack is unbelievable.
Oh man, is that demo reached the crescendo? Like
fuck.
Cello piece that came up?
Yes.
Was, like fucking menacing and intense. Loved it.
It was really cool, and that stuff was like, I'm like, oh wow. There were moments of like, there are times when you're like guards who you have to get around or kill by destroying their light source so that the rats just immediately eat them. And it's like,
wow.
You were a 15-year-old. You shouldn't be killing people. But I guess middle ages, you do what you do.
I mean, the 90s we had Home Alone, but the middle ages, it was basically this.
It was basically...
You just had to like get English soldiers just eaten by rats.
You had to throw a jar to attract an English soldier closer to you so that you could destroy
the lantern
so that the rats would just eat him instantly.
Yeah. for like 5 minutes.
Like you do.
Yeah.
And you could walk up the hill or whatever.
That's good. There's like a little detail I loved where, like in the, because, like, yeah, the rats won't come into the light, but they're animated. They'll try to breach it. Like, they'll scurry forward, so it always feels like, even when you're safe, they keep feeling like they come a little closer. The other thing I see potentially being like a pitfall of this is there's companions with AI and shit, and they have needs. And if they get scared or spooked for whatever reason, they might wander off into the rats and just die. So I could see you really coming to hate your shitty little brother
right.
in that game.
Right.
You're not careful.
I mean, he did get killed once, 100%. Which is wild. What else? What else did we see? Natalie.
Austin and I went to do a little Nintendo booth tour, and I got to play Smash for the first time, which Austin's gotten to play.
I touched it, like, briefly on Sunday.
A little bit. And then we got to play Pokemon Let's Go. I think we played the Pikachu one.
We did.
And we got to use the Pokemon Joy-Con, the Pokeball Joy-Con.
That thing's weightier than I thought it would
be. Yeah, it's light, but it feels, like, well-made. It doesn't feel like a toy. It feels like a controller.
Right.
And it's got a good grip on it. It wasn't as gimmicky as I was expecting. It's very much, like, the gameplay is very much, like, Pokemon Go ported into, like, an RPG, like, a traditional Pokemon RPG context from what we've seen so far, they said there's a lot to be developed, and we were only in this like one little sort of area, but it was really cute seeing the Pokemon rendered like that nicely.
Being able to see like fur texture or fur like it felt like fur.
I was like, cool. Oh, Pikachu is a mouse. Like he, you know,
he got me. Yeah,
That's a damn mouse. So that was really fun.
Yeah.
And then you checked out Starlink.
I checked out Starlink, which I know you played the other day. Did you play on Switch or what did you play on PS4?
I played it on Switch.
Okay. I think the draw distance is like bad, but it has a really cool look. It has a really great aesthetic that I did not really expect it to have.
Sorry, I was distracted. I was just looking at Pokeball Switch controllers, and I was like, that seems cute.
It's cute as hell. You can hold up to your ear, and it makes a noise.
Yeah, when you catch the Pokemon, they go...
Oh, man, you can really feel just, like, so really, like...
Finally.
They're imprisoned in there.
Yeah.
It blinks light. You can... Yeah. Okay, so you can literally walk around with it during your day, and it will level up your Pokemon. At any point, you can put it up to your ear, and it'll go, like, let me out, or whatever they say. It doesn't say that.
I can't wait for my daughter to throw it against the wall and break it.
Pokemon love it, actually. They're like...
All right, that's canon.
Please let me out to fight.
I love fighting other Pokemon.
I love fighting for you.
I love serving you.
Master.
This is my best.
Meowster.
I thought Shadow of Mordor came out last year.
Damn.
But yeah, Starlink, was it a pleasant surprise for you? Because it was for me.
Yeah, and I played it with the digital stuff. It was in the Nintendo booth, so there weren't any of the toys. And it was like...
How does that work?
You just go into a menu and you hit equip the.
But do we know
ice
how
gun.
The shopping works?
So what do you mean the shopping?
Like do you have to pay for the parts or is it all?
If you once you scan it, you have it for a week, which means
no, it's the friends.
No, and if you scan any part.
Oh, okay.
Right, because it's not. It's like if you go buy the ice missiles, you can scan it. You don't have to put it on each time to switch to the ice missiles. Once you've scanned it for a week, it knows that you have the ice missiles.
Go to the GameStop.
Yes.
Scan.
Right. Or their thing was, hey, if your friend has the ice missile and you have the fire missile.
That's not going to happen, though.
If your friend has the ice missile.
My friend's not going to have the ice missile.
Is
my friend named GameStop?
Your friend is named Austin and he has the ice missile.
Oh, I'll fly out to New York and you can scan my damn Switch for a week.
Let's make it happen. Let's do it. You do that with pilots. You can do that with ship bases, all that.
You play Star Fox?
I played Star Fox. And here's the thing. You're not just... I was like, oh, you can start with the R-Wing. I'm like, oh, cool. It's like, well, you put as many wings as you want on each side.
So you just modify the R-Wing?
I put like six fucking
wings.
That's
not an R-Wing anymore.
It was an R-Wing for me. So,
it changes the flight dynamics.
It does.
A little bit. Like, if you create a really lopsided, like, asymmetric ship, like, it'll fly, but it'll be wonky. It'll be, like, driving around on, like, a spare tire. So that's kind of cool.
It was cool. And then, we played Overcooked 2. We played some levels that I had not seen that were cool as shit. There was one on balloon, like a hot air balloon.
Yeah. And then we, like, crash-landed into a sushi restaurant, and we were like, we got salad. You got sushi.
I could do that right now.
Yeah, word.
Let's make them.
It was really cool.
It was fun.
And then there was one that was, like, with portals and teleporting and stuff like that. Really fun.
Super dynamic.
We did very well. They said we were the best cooks ever made.
I'm pretty sure we beat the high score of E3. So.
We won E3. Yeah.
Cool. Finally, someone did it.
Finally
break
did
the cycle
it.
Of fire and ash.
You played Ashen.
Yeah. We saw Natalie. I mean, we already know Natalie won E3.
True. True. Yeah, there are photos out there of Natalie.
The tagged gamer.
The hashtag tagged gamer. The joyful gamer. The blessed gamer. Patrick, you played Ashen. Did you do anything else today?
Yeah. I had this interesting interview with the... I forget his name, but the very tall man from the Rage 2 presentation at Bethesda Express conference. He's like a studio head at Avalanche, and the very nice boy.
Oh, the nice
the
guy,
very nice, tall,
the nice, quiet man.
Yeah, the nice quiet man. Definitely,
that's a movie, right? The quiet man. That's a bad game.
And so one of the things we were talking about was about Avalanche making a first person game. I was like, that's not just like a drop-down menu in Unreal Engine, you know, like first person. It's, you know, like that's the feel of a first person game is something different, and you're making it a software game, which means the expectations are very high. You can't just make like a competent action game. And they said, well, yeah, like basically we got to skip the hiccups you go. Like basically they made an original game and a sequel all at once because they had someone like id Software to be like, yo, like this is actually how you make a first person game. Like here's the things you would find out while trying to build one. Right. We're just going to tell you how to avoid those common mistakes. Like he's like, it's like the way you embed sound effects in the world is different in first and third person. The way like collision detection works with like the ground and like all these small things that they would have figured out as they developed it, but id Software can just upfront be like, hey, like if you change these things, it's gonna feel better. Like helping to find like how you do like the weight and the animations, which is part of id Software sort of like shtick, is like the weapons feel very weighty in their shooters. And so it's all really like nuanced stuff like that about like the relationship with id Software and how they put together that game. And I liked the interview more than the game, but I also think that's because the slice of the game they were showing was not particularly interesting. The combat felt good, so I don't know that's an indictment of the game as much as, you know, just
that's
the part
some
they
demos,
were showing.
Right, yeah. I am still going to go see some other stuff today, but I also did get to chat with Reggie from Nintendo for a little bit.
Cool.
I'll have a transcript of that interview up next week, probably.
After you put up the NAC 2
interview. The NAC 2 interview will go up first, probably.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What if I put the NAC 2 interview up? Oh, I can't. I mean, it's probably on this card. It's the WAV file is on my computer that got water damaged.
Oh.
The Mark Cerny.
We got to check that SD card. But you haven't wiped that SD card.
No, this thing has me and Drew Scanlon talking about some bullshit from 4 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever it is.
Well, we lost that interview. We can just run your interview with Siri about NAC 2, which I think will be just as good.
That's true.
Just go full Alex Jones.
Siri? Okay. We're not going to set Siri's off around the world. But also, Siri, what is NAC 2? But I talked to Reggie. I got some really great answers about everything ranging from how they want to support Smash Esports, and that does not look like sponsored tournaments. That looks like making sure people have the rules for what Smash is and, you know, working with third parties who want to run tournaments.
Right.
Some labor questions that around crunch, around work-life balance that he had some interesting answers for in terms of trying to lead by example. I say interesting not because I think that they're like the best he could do, but because it was an answer I hadn't heard from other people, right? And at least suggests a sort of like, this is the way we're handling it in our offices, given that their offices are not a publisher or they're not developing games. So they are doing QA. How do you deal with that? Well, you staff up. And you make sure that no one's working extra hours. At least that's what he says.
Yeah.
He also had a very good answer. I wanted to ask him why they hate Waluigi so much.
But he was ready for it.
He like preempted me. I wanted to ask that first. We started talking about Smash instead. And then, you know, when you do interviews, sometimes you have like a down moment, and you got to be like, I got to throw in a little transition question before I get back to the real shit. Here's a softball. That's what you do. And so I was like, you're sitting in front of the Mario Tennis Aces poster. Who's your main? And he was like, Waluigi. And I was like, why do you hate Waluigi so much? Like, why does Nintendo hate Waluigi? He's like, we don't hate Waluigi, but the fans, we give them Smash Brothers Ultimate, and like every character ever in Smash has all these stages. It has Ridley for the first time.
Who's extremely good, by the way.
But they're still not happy. I guess they want Waluigi. It was a very good Reggie.
So Nintendo doesn't hate Waluigi.
They hate fans.
Okay, cool.
Right here first.
That's not what he meant, probably.
Who's to say?
You know what? I don't think there's any. I don't think there's a. You have to take what you want from this.
Yeah, the message of what Reggie said is interpreted by you,
the gamer.
The gamer.
Any other feelings right now about E3 as we wrap up our podcast coverage? We're not going to do a big podcast live stream tonight. We're going to do like a team dinner instead, and we're not going to stream
we'll
that.
Clean up on Monday.
Yeah, Monday we'll do some like, hey, here's some stuff that we didn't talk about. Again, I'm going to go see Hitman still. We're going to see Lego Supervillains.
Yay.
So that's more to do there. But, you know, any other final thoughts on E3 2018? Vibes, feelings?
Less people than I expected, just as an observation. Like, last day of E3 is, like, not – there aren't that many people here.
Right.
It is a very down day for audience or for consumers to be here. And I'm – I don't know if that's like, hey, yeah, they discover there's nothing to do here. Yeah. Or it's just a Thursday and it's an – I don't know. But I was surprised – like, there was no line to get in. The walking between halls is usually, like, the best way to kind of get a sense of, like, how overpacked the place is. And
it wasn't.
It's not. So I don't know.
Cool. Feelings. Your first E3.
Very happy, very excited. Last day, it's like, I feel like I did E3, and I don't feel like I'm walking away feeling like I missed anything or that I wasn't able to experience as much as I want, and I think that has a lot to do with like the sort of access I had as like coming from media.
You got to play COD.
I got to play COD. It was like totally like something that I always looked up to E3 as like, oh my god, like it's like a dream sort of thing. I want to go to E3 because I was a little gamer, and and being here is like a very special thing. So I'm happy to be here and happy to leave. Actually,
Brad, Rob.
I mean, I guess one of the things I'm thinking about as I leave E3, because I just saw a game that looked cool, Greedfall.
What is that?
It's an RPG, but if you look at the trailer, there's a lot of themes. Like, it's inspired by the 17th century, but it's completely historical. It's fantasy world. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of, like, colonial themes, like, heavily colonial themes about, like, old worlds conquering new worlds and shit like that and different, like, belief systems encountering each other. Done very naive.
It's one that's made by spiders, right?
Right. And
we can keep talking. We're still alive.
Yeah. Woven, I think, is the term of art they prefer. But the problem is, when I asked about those themes and how they were prepared to handle them, they weren't. And I think one of the themes of the C3 is, like, you, like, developers, PR people, you don't need to have the answers. Like, a lot of times we're asking questions, we're not looking for definitive answers or, like, for you to solve the world's most complicated fucking problems and contexts. But you need to have thought about those questions at some point. Otherwise, you look like an asshole. And, you know, that's kind of my takeaway, is a little bit of prep, a little bit of thinking about how your work might look from other perspectives, both within the industry and from different audiences you might not have considered, goes a long way to making your work come across as responsible and empathetic.
Awesome. If you're listening to this on a podcast, then that's cool, because I got it off this SD card. My recorder just died.
It should. I've had my battery die, and it should still save.
Right, and then the rest of that audio will have come from the Periscope archive. So sorry if we sound like shit right now for the last minute or two. But that's going to do it for us this year at E3 2018 from the floor.
I'm going to go be on Kind of Funny's show.
There you go.
So I'm stage in like 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, you on the show, it'll really live up to its name.
Wow.
Yeah, just kinda.
Patrick, go get him, buddy. Go get him, champ.
See ya.
Bye.
Later.
Is
Bye.
That your...
That's
Peace.
Mine. We'll be right back.
ますね。ねえ、どこにいるかな。
あ、ここいるんだ。
本当？見えないでしょ。どこにいるのかな。ねえ、見えない。
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.